Hello world. It is Thursday, April 8th. My name's Colin. I'm here with Kenny. This is Hacker News TLDR. Kenny, what is on Hacker News?
Well, you complained yesterday about Python packages.
I sure did.
Hacker News has listened, has heard your pleas, and has answered.
It was amazing.
How to make an awesome Python package in 2021. Mm-hmm. Did this solve your problem?
It really helped. I finally understand, all right. First of all, it was just really validating to see people complaining about the exact same problems where it's like, yeah, it's insane that you need like pyproject.toml, setup.config, pi.config, setup.py. I guess setup.py is the thing that's like going away. Kind of what was used previously if you built your package or packaged up your code using something called setup tools, which is now being replaced by something called disk utils, which is like first party supported. But then the top comment is just like, this is silly. Why are you using this flit thing? Which is, I guess, like kind of gives you some of the analogous functionality to something like NPM in JavaScript land, makes it easier to publish to PyPy and whatnot. But then, first guy is just like, no, just create a setup.py. It's like, it's all you need. And then everyone is just like, that's still the top comment, but all of the replies to it are tearing it apart and saying like, no, you don't need, like, that's not the Pythonic way to do it. And then, other people, of course, are like, I actually just use this new tool called Poetry. So, this helped me understand the lay of the land, but I still now understand like that there is just an insane, absurd amount of complexity, which was my suspicion all along. And that is just not even close to a solved problem. Or at least there's no consensus.
Right.
Python's doing its best.
Yeah. I skimmed through it. I haven't published a Python package as I mentioned yesterday, but it didn't seem too bad from what that article was saying.
Yeah, I agree. And I liked the article a lot. It really made it very obvious, all the steps here, and even was informative for things like setting up GitHub Actions, things that I'd never really looked super deeply into. Just helped me kind of understand a lot of these steps along the way. It was good.
Good stuff.
Let's see here. I felt like there was a lot of good stories, but some of them are just, little quick bites here. So there's a new law that got signed in New Mexico, which ends qualified immunity, which is basically the law that allows public officials to, be kind of immune from, being sued if they engage in misconduct. So specifically, this applies to, police officers. A lot of times you can't, press charges or sue a police officer for things they do on the job. So New Mexico is the second state to get rid of, the doctrine of qualified immunity, which is pretty exciting. One of the paragraphs that I thought was really interesting was the bill received widespread support from a bipartisan coalition of organizations, including the Innocence Project, Americans for Prosperity, the ACLU, the Institute for Justice, National Police Accountability Project, and Ben Cohen and Jerry Greenfield, founders of Ben & Jerry's. So,
I love it when Ben and Jerry's get involved. That's awesome. That's so good.
It's a big deal. Thanks, Ben and Jerry.
Every time I get frustrated with code or think about, quitting tech forever, I think, it'd be kind of fun to work at Ben and Jerry's.
Well, Better Call Saul did its best to make it look not fun in those random flash forward segments, but, I agree completely.
Oh, yes, that's true. In black and white.
Yep, that's right.
There's an update about a story. I can't remember. Did we talk about the fact that half a billion users had their data leaked from Facebook? I can't remember if you mentioned that story.
I just want, for the record, to know that I knew you were going to go there as soon as you said, I can't remember. I immediately knew exactly what your bit was. So
that's fair. It's a recurring bit, I think. But well done. Well done on that play. Well, Reuters has just a fantastic headline about the story, which really just summarizes the whole thing. so I think I'll just stick to reading the exact Reuters headline. Facebook does not plan to notify 500 million users affected by data leak. That's always their plan, is to ignore and say nothing and hope it goes away eventually.
That's right.
And I'm happy that Reuters just said it right there in the headline. Boom, there it is. There's no plan. They're not going to tell people. You're just going to have to go to, have you been Facebooked?
One of the best parts about this article is that they have comments from, you know, a actual Facebook spokesperson. And the line here is that the Facebook spokesman said the social media company was not confident it had full visibility on which users would need to be notified. I have a suggestion for Facebook if they need to get visibility on which users need to be notified. Download the publicly available database of users.
That is insane. I didn't think about the insanity of that sentence in particular.
Oh, it's glorious. Well done, Facebook spokesperson.
Remember, as I always say, the best thing you can do to help the massive problems at Facebook is, if you work at Facebook, quit. That's what I suggest. That is my suggestion. Just quit.
Yep. Speaking of quitting, there was this opinion piece in the New York Times. I don't know why I'm on a political bent today. After working at Google, I'll never let myself love a job again.
I read that and thought it was really interesting. I didn't notice that it made Hacker News, but I thought that was a really interesting piece.
Yes, it was. It came out yesterday. And yeah, you know, it's just like a unfortunately common story of, you know, person getting kind of verbally harassed by a manager and all those, you know, claims she submits getting ignored and her kind of employer promotion prospects getting hurt as a result of her raising these complaints. And just ends on this super dour note of like, you know, yeah, I used to think Google was like this perfect, you know, utopian employer. I like was friends with everyone on my team. And like, we went to Maui after launching a big product. And I like would, you know, eat all my meals at Google. Now I cook my meals myself. And I don't hang out with people outside of work. And my job is just a job. And then it just, the story was over. So kind of a downer of a story. But I don't know. I feel like, I don't know where I land on this, whether it's good to try to separate your life as much as possible from your employment situation, where you don't, you know, treat your employer as like your place of employment as any sort of like family or community, or if, you know, you should still try like strive for that. I'm not sure if I believe
right
in this moral or not.
Yeah, I mean, I do think going so far as to say it's family, I feel like is definitely concerning because they have, you know, the fiduciary responsibility to maximize profits, which hopefully is not true of your family.
Oh, that's not normal. I had no idea. That totally recontextualizes everything.
So yeah, it is nice that places have, you know, the like free food and like Google has like bowling alleys and stuff, but
yeah
there must be some happy middle ground between family and not wanting to interact with coworkers outside of work. But that was a well-written piece, and I guess that person has a book coming out about her experience at Google.
Accepting, I think. Acceptance, there you go. So yeah,
yep.
good writing there. Did you see that Dynamic Land made it to the front page?
Yes, I did see. I saw that there was the classic combination of the love-hate relationship with Dynamic Land.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting read in the comments. It is true they have not shared much recently, but it's also true that they aren't trying to productize their thing, and I guess are just still hard at work. So I agree with people that I wish they shared more, but I'm not gonna be too harsh on them because I think they were sharing originally basically to get funding. And now that they have some funding, they can just work without being watched for a bit.
Yeah. Is it? So it is still under active development. I haven't really followed the narrative like dynamically.
There hasn't.
Go ahead.
Yeah, there hasn't been much of a of a narrative. It's just they basically just haven't said much or released like new demos or like information in the past year or two, maybe, except for a quick like required public notice because they're a 501c3 organization that they released like a little two pager just describing how they spend their time, which they basically said is like 50% on R&D, 25% on community outreach, and 25% on something similar to community outreach.
Got it. Okay. Interesting. Well, it's good to see it get a little bit more traction. A lot of the comments here seems to be the first time some of these folks are hearing about it. So hopefully they get a little surge of additional support.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah.
What else you got?
Well, speaking of the work side of things, there was a article that hit the front page called 34% of work from home workers say they'd rather quit than return to full-time office work, which is pretty interesting. And I feel like we're just on the brink of somewhat returning back to offices and normal life. And I feel like it's going to be really interesting to see what happens. But there's also people mentioned in the comments some good points that like, at any one time, half of all employees are like thinking about switching jobs. Mm-hmm. So the fact that 34% of work from home workers say they'd rather quit than return to full-time work is like not super surprising, but it is interesting that at the beginning of the pandemic, there was a big question of like, are people going to enjoy the work from home life and how people are going to handle it? And it seems like a lot of people really do want to continue at least blend going into the future, which is pretty interesting.
Yeah, that was, I think, it was a pretty even, clean split where 25% of people wanted to stay work from home, like completely, 50% of people want to blend, and 25% of people want to just go into the office every day, which is interesting. I feel like I definitely see, I mean, I've never worked in an office, so I have like a romantic notion of it, and it sounds good. But I'm sure I would be disabused of that notion very quickly, if I had to, you know, be there 9 to 5 and just got fed up not being able to, you know, wire in to work on something if I was in like an open plan office or something. But you know, the free food, you know, kind of makes it worth it. I would definitely do that at a FANG company. Go in every day for the food. Yeah. Interesting article. Also weird, you know, this top comment, like you mentioned, he throws out a statistic that the typical office worker spends a half hour each day searching for new jobs. What an insane statistic.
Yeah. That is very strange.
Last thing I wanted to quickly shout out is the No Phone, which, had you heard about this? It's been kicking around for a while.
Is this just like a piece of plastic?
Yeah, it's a piece of plastic, except they have a new product line that you're clearly not aware of called the No Phone Air, which is just a piece of air. They just send you a bag and there's nothing in it. And all the marketing photos are just people holding out their hand, like as if they're holding a phone, but there's nothing in it.
So it turns out that the No Phone is going to be on Shark Tank tonight. There's an episode of Shark Tank. Is that true? No. Okay. They were on Shark Tank.
I think they were on a few
today,
years ago.
April 8th, years ago.
Oh, yeah.
April 8th, 5 years. That's really funny. They, on their page, they still have a screenshot of them on Shark Tank, and it says, the No Phone Shark Tank, April 8th at 9 p.m. And I looked at the date, and it turns out that's today, but it was April 8th, 2016.
That is funny. Yeah, they definitely haven't updated this website in a couple of years. So I hope they're just getting some nice passive income out of sales of their hunks of plastic. Looks like they really got all their big coverage in late 2015, early 2016. They got like their first bit of PR that they got in this little like press kit here is a feature in Time magazine in October, which is ridiculous. Good for them. It's always good to see gimmicks.
A great gimmick. Yeah, yep. Great gimmick.
I think that's all I got.
All right. That's all we got, folks. See you tomorrow.
See ya.